Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and I want to welcome Hannette Engel to the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to be talking about, I thought we were going to be talking about flamenco dancing, but I'm discovering immediately that flamenco is wider than just dancing.
Yeah, definitely. It's singing, guitar, it's a whole lifestyle in Spain, and especially in the south of Spain.
Like okay.
A culture that's been, I don't know, centuries old.
Mm.
Yeah, been cultivated there, so... It's my life passion, man.
Right. And this weekend in Morrinsville, you're doing something, aren't you?
Yes. We have a big flamenco night on, tapas and flamenco at 5:30. So I'm performing with like four other artists, musicians, guitarists, singers. Yeah.
Okay. So how does that work? So you're dancing while they're playing music and the artists are doing art. Is that happening all at once?
No, this time there's no artist doing painting. I used to do that. I did that with Simon Dickey. He's from Raglan, so a painter, and he does live action painting when I dance. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did that 2 weeks ago in Morrinsville Gallery. Really, really magical, actually. But now it's live music. So how flamenco works is I dance on the singer's song, and then the guitarist accompanies it. So it's a whole, we have a whole language that's, you need like a lifetime to learn the language of flamenco, but then...
The language is a dance language.
Dancing, well, and as a dancer, I have to listen to the singer.
Yeah.
So when he's singing full out, like I can't do my footwork in the middle of it and just trample on his lyrics. I have to, you know, listen to him and then, or her. This we have two female singers now, actually.
Yeah.
And see when I can put my percussive footwork in. And sometimes I demand my space, so...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's how it works, too. And then the singer reacts. So we've prepared choreographies, but it's always a matter of improvisation as well, because you just never know what happens on stage.
So for the people who really don't know, our experience of flamenco dancing is little moments in movies where they use it to set the scene. So now you know you're in a certain part of Europe because there was 2 seconds of a flamenco dancer in the cafe, and then, you know, so we're getting cliches, I guess.
That's, big skirts, castanets, dots, and a lot of clapping and like wild faces. But, you know, that is the essence of flamenco. It's a bit of a touristy version, maybe.
Yeah.
It's way deeper. But, you know, that guitar sound, you always hear the guitar strumming.
Yeah.
I think we're going to listen to some music,
yes,
right?
Yes, we'll do that in a few minutes. Yeah.
That immediately sets the atmosphere for us as well. There's such warm and intriguing sounds. They are really typical of flamenco. Yeah. But it's way deeper. I write about the history of flamenco as well on my blog.
Yeah.
there's more than 70 styles of flamenco, and each each village, each city in the south of Spain has their own styles that just originated there. So
people are going to hear that you've got an accent and think maybe you're from that part of Europe, but you're from the Netherlands.
I'm from the Netherlands.
Is there much flamenco up there?
Oh, yes. We have a warm, passionate flamenco scene there, actually.
Yeah.
Even a conservatory for a flamenco guitarist. Yeah.
Okay. So that's how you got into that, presumably.
Yeah.
Well, how old were you when you discovered and decided this was the thing for you?
15.
15.
Yeah.
Okay.
I started with my mother. We wanted to do something together, dancing, and then we saw there was a flamenco class going on in Groningen. That's where I was living then.
Yep. Now I'm trying. That word's spelled
G-R-O-N-I-N-G.
Okay, so that's how you actually see. I've seen it in my head. I've pronounced it in like the English way, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm originally from Utrecht. Another.
Yeah.
Dutch city with a G. So we started there, and then I moved to Spain when I was 18 to learn flamenco, to learn Spanish.
So that's quite a serious move, I guess. Well, it's not so serious within Europe, but if you had...
No, and it was just for a year and a half. And then afterwards, I just kept coming back. I've been coming back for 25 years now.
So when you go to learn flamenco, are you learning how to play castanets and dance? Or are you learning more than that?
Everything, yeah. Castanets is I have them with me so I can play some.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do that too.
But I learned that in later years because that's kind of part of the more the folklore part of flamenco. And there's like flamenco, they say deep flamenco, like cantejondo is the deep singing, which is this really serious flamenco. Some say the pure flamenco, flamenco puro. And you have to learn like at least 5 to 10 styles of it. Yeah, dancing. Okay. So I went to dance lessons all the time. You learn footwork, so that's one thing, the percussive, percussive footwork. You learn the arms and the hands that are like a bit like flowers or sometimes they say doves in the air. It has to be really elegant. And and then you learn the rhythms and you learn to listen to the singer. You learn about the text because I learned Spanish, of course, and it's Andalusian Spanish. So
you can't understand it properly without learning the Spanish.
Well, people do, but yeah.
But there's always those concepts that can't be translated easily. Yeah. So I imagine that's more helpful if you can learn Spanish as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like me and the musicians on Sunday, we've been communicating in Spanish because they're all from New Zealand. Well, one is Spanish, the rest are from New Zealand.
Yeah.
But they've all learned flamenco through Spanish as well because the terms that you use for dancing and for guitar are in Spanish. So, yeah.
And maybe I'm dealing with cliches again, but I imagine English is not a flamboyant language, but maybe Spanish is. Like, I can't see how you could properly discuss flamenco using English language. Yeah, it's much more utilitarian. Yeah. Yeah. So you speak Dutch, English, Spanish.
Yeah.
Anything else?
French, German, Italian. But we learned that in school, like French and German as well. We have to learn English, French, German.
German, though, must be easy for a Dutch person to learn.
Well, easier, yeah.
It's a similar language. But it's very European to know a few languages, but that's about 6, I think.
Yeah. I love languages. That's the thing. It's one of my passions.
So when you come to New Zealand, and we have Māori, and there's been a revival for the last generation or two, and there's more and more Māori out there, and most of us are trying to pronounce it correctly. Mm. Do you find it quite easy, now that you know 6 other languages, to dive into a new one and work on the pronunciation and things like that?
Yeah, I love te reo, but I think my first pronunciation of te reo is a bit Spanish, because that's the way I've learned to pronounce a different language sometimes. Yeah. So I would say te reo, but I don't know it's too harsh, I think, to say it like that in Māori.
Well, I'm not an expert, but you're rolling the R in there, which is something that a lot of English speakers have trouble with.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what I practice on a lot when I was in Seville, when I lived there. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the pen underneath my tongue.
Oh, really? Is that what you do?
That's what I did.
Oh, there you go, folks. If you're struggling with te reo, you can't roll the R every time you want to, do something with a pen in your mouth, under the tongue.
Yep.
Maybe we'll need some images to help with that. Okay, so we're getting sidetracked. So you're playing at Morrinsville. So I had to ask this question. I asked this question before we went on the air, but you've got a good answer. So I was kind of like, Morrinsville doesn't seem to be known for anything flamboyant. Seems like one of those down-to-earth Kiwi towns. Lots of farming and a farming community around it.
Definitely.
But it's having flamenco this weekend, and it's got a gallery, an art gallery.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
It's an amazing art gallery. I didn't know about it either, but the space is really big and really beautiful. And the director is Gina Barreto. So she's from Colombia.
Yep.
So maybe that's why there's more passion there right now. She's really trying to engage more audience. But the community there is actually pretty tight and supportive of the museum. So it's a really flourishing art gallery.
How did someone from Colombia end up in Morrinsville?
Oh, her story. I don't actually know. We should interview her maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But
like Raglan is full of people from all around the world, you know, and you're here. I should not be so rude about Morrinsville, perhaps.
I know, but most people react like, oh, I didn't know there was an art gallery in Morrinsville, but there is. And we're organizing a flamenco night because it's a really beautiful venue. And I did a performance there 2 weeks ago with Simon Dickey, the painter. I did dance interventions all day long, and people just...
Wait, what's a dance intervention?
Ah,
You've got someone who can't dance and won't dance, and you think they need to dance, and you intervene in their life. It's like an alcoholic intervention. We're here to help. Maybe it's, not.
Yeah, kind of like that. People are in the gallery watching art, and they know there's something going on, but I just do a dance performance every hour, but I really engage the audience. So I taught the people there who were there, farmers and a lot of people from the Latin community, to clap flamenco in three.
So it's not too frightening for people. I imagine you frighten a few people.
Maybe in the beginning, but they see my passion and they get really passionate, because I got four people to go on stage with me there and dance, like New Zealanders, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Kiwi don't do that usually.
Yeah, yeah.
But they got really enthusiastic and it was just a lot of fun, yeah.
Okay. Well, should we play some of the music to give... And people probably think they know about flamenco music. Let's play some real stuff here. Is this the real stuff?
Are we going to play Paul Bosoder?
Yeah, let's do that now.
So I can say, the best flamenco guitarist in New Zealand. He's really professional. I think he lived in Spain for 10, 14 years almost, and studied guitar there, flamenco guitar. So he's exceptionally professional, and he does tours here in New Zealand. He has done some theater tours as well.
Okay.
This is from his first disc. And he's
we've got two songs here, so which one are we going to play?
Well, let's do the Alegrías. That means joy in Spanish. It's one of the styles from flamenco that I'm going to perform on Sunday as well. This hasn't got singing in there, but you can hear the guitar play and the rhythm. The rhythm is like 12 in 12, so pay attention, because usually we don't know that kind of rhythm.
Okay.
Yeah,
and beats. People can dance if they're by themselves.
Of course. Because
they're New Zealanders.
All right. Here we go.
So can you give us the name again of the song?
The song is called La Flor de Olivo, and the olive flower, like that. Alegrías is the style, and it's from Paul Bosoder.
Thank you.
Hey, got the morning show with Aaron. That was Paul Bosador and Hanet. Did I say his name wrong?
I don't think so. It's good. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, if I say it really fast, you can't tell. That was so. That was some flamenco guitar from a New Zealand guitarist.
Yep.
And
half New Zealand, half Lebanese, but he was born here. Yeah.
Excellent. Not born anywhere near the home of flamenco in Spain.
No.
So you were telling me off the air that that's a specific type of flamenco guitar from a particular place.
Yeah. Alegrías. That comes from Cádiz. That's a place in the south of Spain, Andalusia, where the heart of flamenco pumps hardest, is what they say.
Yeah.
And the singer I'm working with, Pepa, on this Sunday, Pepa de Cádiz, she's from Cádiz. And she just sings the Alegrías like she has never learned it, but she just somehow feels the rhythm because she grew up with it. She's been living in New Zealand for 15, 16 years now, and she has a family here and everything. But she grew up there and went from feria to feria. That's like a year fair where they have horses and they dress up in flamenco dresses and and they sing and clap and do the castanets, which I'm holding right now.
Yes, we have castanets in the studio, folks.
Yes.
So. Normally, you'll dance and do castanets at the same time.
Yeah, when I do sevillanas, and that's a dance from Sevilla, I use the castanets because that's really traditional for that dance.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's associated a bit with the cliche of flamenco, and like you were talking about.
Yeah, at the start. Yeah, when we see 2 seconds in a movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is a shame because it's really hard to learn, and it's an art to master. So it's taken me years to get here, and still I need to learn a lot.
Can I describe? So they're clapping together.
Yeah.
They've got string which is around your thumb on each hand.
Yeah.
And so then you can operate them with your fingers, I guess.
Yeah.
True. And they just, and I say they just clap together, but you're telling me it's not that straightforward.
No.
If I put them on, I'd be
you can hear
I'd just be shaking my hand. Yeah.
And they're these are made of, I don't know, some kind of artificial material, but originally they would be made of wood.
Yeah.
And called palillos as well, for the Spanish people that live in Raglan, maybe they recognize the word.
Yeah.
A palo is a piece of wood, so. And that's what people would just use, you know, anything they could find to make noise with, to make music with, they would use. So
flamenco dancing, it's very percussive because you've got that, and you talk about with your feet as well at certain times. So you are part of the music. Definitely. You're not dancing to the music.
Like I'm also making the music.
You're part of the band in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, not in a melodic sense, so I don't use melody, but definitely the rhythm is really important in flamenco. The Alegrías is a 12 beat rhythm.
Yeah.
And you start on the 12. So
it's the musicians might know what that means. Yeah. I'm not quite sure. So normally like the conventional music that we're hearing in the pop music is like four times.
Four,
so
four.
This is 12.
Or 3-4, but this is actually 2 times 6 sometimes, or like 12. Yeah. And the beat is on 12, so 12, 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then again. So that's
okay.
Those are the beats.
All right. I'm a little confused here. But
shall I do it?
Let's just do some. Yeah. Let's go for it.
Okay.
So what I'm seeing is you've got 3 fingers hitting. So to get a quick rhythm. Four fingers are hitting.
And the one finger on the left. So 4 are doing this.
Yeah.
And then the left one is doing the bass. So this one, the right one sounds a bit louder, higher, and the left one a bit.
Are they the same size or are they different sizes?
They're the same size. I don't know how they get the bass out. It must be something different because this one is high and this one is a bit lower.
Okay. I couldn't quite sounds pretty similar in my ears, but I'm hearing it through. But also it might be the way that you're doing it as well, and whether you're
there's a subtle touch. Difference, but
I'm an ignoramus, so I'm not hearing any subtlety at all. So folks, we're talking to Hanet Engel and flamenco dancer, going to be at the Morrisville Gallery this weekend. They're doing a fundraiser over there because the good people of Morrinsville need art too. And that's going to be Sunday, 9th of June. What time?
5:30.
So that's happening. And yep. Tuppers as well. And I want to look more at, like, flamenco dancing. Not everyone knows that's a thing. But you write a blog about all aspects of it. You're writing a novel.
Yeah.
What is a flamenco novel? Is that just a novel that happens to be about someone who dances? Or, like, it's a little more to it than that?
Yeah, it's a new genre, I guess.
A new genre, all right. Got your own genre.
Well, there are some novels that are about flamenco dancers as well. But, it's my first time writing a novel, so I'm still finding out what the style is going to be. But it's going to be about a woman, a girl, a young woman going to Spain and learning flamenco there. Went there for 25 years, and I've had a lot of adventures there with the flamenco scene. So it's going to be about that, partly her and her friends learning flamenco and just their encounters with traditional flamenco and maybe challenging it or just learning about it as well in the streets of Seville. But it's also has a historical component because she discovers a 19th century flamenco dancer who became famous in New York. And this is an actual historical dancer called Carmencita that I researched a bit. And she's the first woman ever to appear on film with Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
Pronouncing it the Spanish way. And she was a Spanish dancer, flamenco, kind of, you could call it flamenco. And that's going to be part of the novel as well. Yeah.
So this is a career, like flamenco dancing. People get paid to dance.
Are you surprised?
No, well, I'm just trying to work out, like there's a scene. Are there scores of professional dancers out there? Like, this is a viable career. And your parents don't go, oh, no, you'll never make any money out of that.
Yeah,
like, how does that all fit into life?
Well, in Spain, it's a proper career. And the Netherlands, most of my friends are flamenco musicians, actually. So they're able to make a living. But they're also versed in other styles. So they do all kinds of musical collaborations. Yeah. Myself, I'm just not just a dancer. I'm an artist and a writer. So I've been living from my writing and my art historical research as well, because I'm an art historian.
Yeah.
So I work for museums usually.
Okay.
And I'm just, I don't know, I'm like a flamenco ambassador.
Okay.
That's
especially out here in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Trying to represent it as best as I can and transmit my passion for it and my knowledge about history. I think that's really important as well.
So how did you end up in New Zealand?
Yeah.
a question I ask a lot of people in this chair. Like,
Well, it's been coming for years, and I was just really attracted to the nature of New Zealand. And I have some family here in Kapiti Coast and Christchurch that I wanted to visit. And then, when I saw Lord of the Rings for the first time when I was 16, that really made me enthusiastic about New Zealand. But that's a long time ago.
You're going to be very close to Hobbiton when you're over in Morrinsville.
I know. I've been there already, course. Yeah,
I was speaking to someone last weekend who took his son there, and he was like, it was a really enjoyable experience.
Mm,
sounds quite like it. Yeah, it's not just
I should do a performance there, maybe.
You bang your head on the ceiling.
True.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, no. And then I dated a surfer in the Netherlands who came to Raglan and told me about Soulscape, and he showed me pictures, and I was like, oh, I really have to go to Raglan. So the first thing I did when I came here last year, because this is my second trip here, I was here for 5 months in 2022, traveling around. So the first thing I did was go to Raglan.
Yeah,
and I just, like everyone, fell in love with Raglan. Even though I've seen the South Island and everything, it's just, it feels like paradise to me here.
Really? What's it like in the Netherlands?
Crowded.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, there's so much culture and history. I love it. I've soaked it up all my life. You know.
Well, the fact that you could travel to Spain,
you
know, and that didn't seem like a big deal to study flamenco. Like, for us in New Zealand, that would be a massive deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But yeah, maybe for us, we're very lucky.
Yeah.
And all the languages and cultures. Yeah, but it's for me, I've soaked that up all my life. And there's just not a lot of nature left in the Netherlands, is what I see. I love nature. I love being in the water. And it's like the sea. If you look at the sea, there's windmills everywhere. Like, that was the last piece of wild nature. And now it's being kind of colonized by us humans as well. And
we're getting some of those here too.
Yeah, I know.
Although just they're going to be over the horizon.
Don't do it. I know it's really good, like, for to save nature eventually, like, for the climate, but the views you get from the beach, it really destroys the view. And for me, it's a bit sad because it destroys the wildness of
Yeah, I mean, nature. We've got them over my right shoulder here.
Yeah.
But they somehow, they weren't so bad. I went down to Palmerston North, and that town there, there's a low range of hills behind it, and it's like an army of wind turbines, and but it didn't seem so bad here because they're kind of randomly placed.
I think the landscape
the landscape dominates them, whereas in Palmerston North they dominate the landscape. So it sounds like in the Netherlands they dominate the landscape.
Yeah, they do, and we don't have a lot of nature to begin with. So, and we don't have mountains, so it's all flat.
Like totally flat? Not even a bit of a rise?
No, nothing.
Ooh.
But we're not a big country. It's like 5 hours from north to south.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And we're 18 million people in that little country. So it just gets, for me, it gets a bit crowded. And
well, we think we're getting crowded now in New Zealand.
No, man.
Because there's more people than there used to be. You're playing in Morrinsville, and I know that you're leaving to go back overseas again, and you want to come back. Are we going to be able to see you do flamenco here in Raglan? Because I'm sure people would love to see.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah. If I manage to come back, I'll be back for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And then my plan is to start flamenco lessons here, give shows. And so I'm working with Peppa from Hamilton, and also a Maori guitarist who is a flamenco guitarist in Hamilton. Yeah. And they have this whole show planned, actually, flamenco show with Maori music as well.
It's
really, really interesting. Yeah, because there's, I don't know if you know, but there is a whole tribe, the Ngāti Porou, who descend from a Spanish whaler who came here in the 19th century, José Manuel.
Okay, and so all his descendants.
Yeah, are part Spanish, and they're really proud of their heritage, is what I've been told.
Yeah.
So they're working on a project, and I would love to be involved in that as well, and trying to get flamenco on a higher plane here, like just to get everyone to dance. And yeah, it would be really lovely. So I don't know if you have... You have a Facebook or something, the radio, Raglan Radio?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if people are interested in flamenco, they are interested in lessons or shows or whatever, just tell me so on Facebook, and that will really help me to get back here, because I need support from organizations to show that there's interest in flamenco.
Yeah, okay. Well, we will podcast this interview later today, and that will go out on our Facebook feed.
Yeah,
and perfect. And we'll get some images. But we're here. The first, before we go, we should say about the event that's on this Sunday in Morrinsville, 5:30 at the new. Is it a new gallery there? I just haven't heard.
No.
New to me.
It's a wonderful gallery, and I really appreciate their support. And I'm doing this. We are all doing this, the artists, to support them as well, because. And nowadays, you have to be creative to get audience and get funding. So that's why we're doing this. And it's just a wonderful venue that is interested in supporting the artists, local artists, and just, sharing all that warmth from, in this case, flamenco.
So there's... An online ticket sales spot? I can't read the words.
Yeah,
there.
You have to... Right now, you can make reservations through the... email, which is info@morrinsvillegallery.org.nz.
Yeah.
And there is a discount, $10 discount for people over 75 with a gold card.
Okay. So it is a fundraiser, folks. So you'll be bringing your wallet. That's the deal. That's what it's about, to keep the arts going in this new hostile political landscape, shall we say.
Yeah. And you get to see local New Zealand flamenco talent, which is pretty
unique. Who knew this was happening in this country? So, yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The guitarists, I would love to talk more, but maybe we don't have time. But the guitarists,
we kind
and
of
singers,
run out, yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing people. So just check out.
Maybe we put some links in our when we do their Facebook post, maybe put some links for them as well.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. Cool.
All right, Hannette, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Anything
thank
else you want to say? Or?
Are you going to play some more music?
Okay, why don't we do it?
One more.
Technically, I should be playing the ad break, but who cares? We can do that in a few minutes. So we're playing the next one?
Yeah?
So this is... You sure?
Another one.
Because you were looking at other ones.
Yeah.
We got time.
This one.
Okay. What name this?
It's
the song.
It's Rumbas El Porrón Pompero, which Pepa from Cádiz, she loves it, by Manolo Escobar. It's an old flamenco, a bit of flamenco light, but really fun. And we're going to do that, perform that on Sunday as well. So.
Okay. All right.
Enjoy.
Thank you for coming in, Hannette.
Welcome.
All right, folks. This is the end of the show. Enjoy the music. I'll be back again on Monday.
El trigo entre todas las flores ha escogido a la amapola y yo escojo a mis dolores, dolores Lolita Lola. Y yo escojo a mis dolores, que es la flor más perfumada, dolores Lolita Lola. A los clisos de mi cara le voy a poner un candado, por no ver las cosas raras de ese niñato chalao. Por no ver las cosas raras de ese niñato chalao, que está apunta y no dispara. De tu hermano, que no me venga con leyes, que payo yo soy gitano, que llevo sangre de reyes. Que payo yo soy gitano, que llevo sangre de reyes, que en la palma de la mano. Retumbaba el agua, retumba, retumba. Poro, 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 poro